Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a moment of revelation, a vision of God's glory. Jesus is standing on the mountain with Peter and James and John, and suddenly standing beside him are Moses and Elijah, two of the greatest heroes of the Hebrew tradition. Those who transmitted the faith have this mythology around them. That, I think, would have been enough to convince Peter and James and John that something special was happening here, that Jesus was somehow different and special. But then there is more. There is a theophany, a word which just means a vision, a glimpse of God in God's glory. Moses has experienced a theophany when he was up on Mount Sinai and spoke with God face to face, when he received the covenant for God's people and also begged for mercy on behalf of God's people. He came down from the mountain, and because he had been in the presence of God, his face shone with God's glory, so that the people couldn't even look on him. He made them nervous. He had to cover his face because he shone with the glory of God. Elijah has experienced a different kind of theophany. If you remember his story, Elijah was sitting in a cave at the end of his rope, ready to just give it all up. And God says, I'm going to come to you. But God doesn't come in an earthquake or in the fire or in the rushing wind. God comes in a still, small voice that says to Elijah, get up, keep going. I am with you and all will be well. But as they stand there, Peter and James and John see Jesus transfigured in front of them. He shines so that they can't even look right at him. I put this icon, and I also brought my icon of the Transfiguration. I don't know how many of you know about icons, but there is a tradition in an icon like the Transfiguration so that they're done in the same way every time. And if you see behind Jesus, who is shining bright, there's this field of blue-black all around him. And that field is the whole cosmos, all of creation, that Jesus was a part of and is the savior of not just the people here around him, but all of creation, all of the cosmos, all of the chaos, all of the order, everything that is has come into creation and will be saved by this Jesus. I just love that idea that this icon carries, that it's this transfiguration is a moment that reveals Jesus as the Lord of all the world. The disciples are amazed. They're dumbfounded. Literally, as Peter kind of sputters, wow, Jesus, this is great. Maybe we should make some, you know, tents for us to stay up here. But they can't stay. They hear God say, this is my beloved, listen to him. And then they have to go back down the mountain, back to ordinary life, or at least as ordinary as life ever is, if you're following Jesus. But perhaps as they return to this normal life, they are reassured in some way by this vision of Jesus in his glory. They can remember in the days to come that Jesus truly is the Messiah. Jesus truly is the one who's been sent by God to set everything right for the people of God once and for all. And they need that reassurance. Because just before they went up on the mountain, Jesus started talking about some really hard things. Jesus said, we have to go to Jerusalem, and when we get there, I'll be betrayed, and I'll suffer, and I will be killed, and then I'll rise again. But the disciples kind of get caught on the suffering and death part. Oh, no, Jesus, not you. But then Jesus goes even further and says, so you, if you want to follow me, anyone who wants to follow me has to take up a cross, has to willingly accept suffering on behalf of others. That's what it means to follow me. These are some hard things. And two more times in Mark's gospel, Jesus is going to tell the disciples, this is what it means to follow me. This is where we're going, to Jerusalem, to death, to suffering. This is a turning point in the Gospel of Mark. Up until now, we've seen Jesus teaching and healing, doing miracles, showing what it is and telling what it is to be in the kingdom of God, this kingdom of God that has come near to the people. Now, from this time forward, they head for Jerusalem for the crucifixion and the resurrection. They're heading to Jerusalem where they will face betrayal. They will face suffering and death. They will face failure and fear. And then, wonder of wonders, resurrection. What they never expected, even though Jesus told them, resurrection. Not just of Jesus, but of themselves, their lives, their hopes and dreams, their understanding of who they are and who God is. I think Peter and James and John never really understood what happened at the Transfiguration until the resurrection happened. They remembered what they'd seen on the mountain and putting it together with the resurrected Christ. That's what that meant. This is the God of the whole world, the cosmos, all creation, the God who is more powerful than death. I wonder if they remembered that transfiguration story through all of the dark and difficult days. And I wonder, what is it that gives us reassurance in our faith? What carries us through doubt and suffering until we also can know resurrection and new life? This past week, I went to the art and prayer group that I go to every month with some people from St. Michael's. And the poem that our leader brought to read us by Mark Nepo, I want to read to you. Seldom seen, growing along the ocean floor, the white plumed anemone is a watery blossom. It is white lace opening under tons of black, opening as if bathed in the sun while so far from the sun. This is the trick to staying well, isn't it? To feel the sun even in the dark. To not lose the truth of things when they go out of view, to grow just the same. To know there is still water even when we are thirsty. To know there is still love even when we are lonely. To know there is still peace, even when we are suffering. None of this invalidates our pain, but only strengthens our way back to the light. Nepo finds hope and courage in the natural world, in that image of the beautiful anemone that blossoms in the dark places. What gives you that reassurance and hope? Perhaps you too have experienced some theophany, some experience of God's grace and glory that carries you through, that you can hold on to even when otherwise things are a mess. Or perhaps it is those Bible stories you learned as a child that stay in your mind even through doubts and concerns. The scripture that you've learned by heart, or the hymns you've sung all your life. Perhaps you also see the revelation of God in the beauty of creation around you. I always think an easy thing to see in New Mexico with our mountains out there that just tell God's glory every day in some way. Or perhaps for you it is the community of faith. The community that goes on praying and singing, praising and lamenting, no matter what is happening in the world around us or in this community or in our individual lives, that we continue in our faithful following of Jesus, even when we are suffering. When we have reached the end of our rope, when we feel like we can't go on, the demands of life or the demands of faith seemed like just too much for us, any of these can be for us that still small voice of God that says, get up, keep going, it will be okay, because I am with you, and I will give you hope and new life. Thanks be to God. Amen.